Date Me, a podcast where we do blah, 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 where me... It's as if I've never done an intro before in my whole life. Where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could take me up in a hot air balloon, push me out, and say, bye-bye, bitch. I hope you fly home. My guest today is a multi-award-winning actor, comedian, and singer who starred in the Pulitzer-winning musical A Strange Loop that I tried to see in New York City last time I was there, but was unable to for lack of time. You can see him in shows like Abbott Elementary, Search Party, and Modern Love. Beep, bop, boop, bop, boop, beep. I'm joined by Beep, beep, boo, Larry Owens.
Oh, wow. Hi.
Hi, 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 hi. How are you?
Oh my gosh, after that intro, I'm absolutely... I'm falling out of the parachute with you. Oh, it was a hot air balloon.
I love that. Who cares? We're up in the sky, floating down, having a nice time.
Yes, we're airborne.
Larry, how are you?
I'm great. I am in East Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Come through, Brooklyn.
Yes, and I am just living my this is my birthday week.
Happy birthday week.
Thank you. It often gets overshadowed by Thanksgiving. Then on leap years, my birthday sometimes is on Thanksgiving. And so...
I'm so sorry that your birthday is on a racist holiday based in lies. Christopher Columbus discovered nothing because the indigenous people were already here. But the saving grace is the mac and cheese is really good.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, just hundreds of years of institutional racism counteracted by mac and cheese, but not with the roux. Black people are starting to make the mac and cheese with the roux. And
what do you mean starting?
I don't know. I don't think that roux was a part of ours. I think we were just like cheese in that casserole dish. I don't know. I've never made the mac and cheese.
Larry!
I don't cook.
So how do you think mac and cheese was made?
I think that they just put like a bunch of cheeses in it.
No, you have to make the roux. So there's a little, there's salt, there's pepper, there's butter, there's, I want to say fabric softener, but I mean flour. Flour. Flour, you mix that all up and shit. And then there's like milk. If you want to do heavy cream, there's heavy cream. Then you add the cheeses to that and you make your fucking roux and you dump it over the fucking noodles. And then it goes in the casserole dish and then you mix it all up. And then you put another fucking block of cheese on top, some fucking breadcrumbs or whatever, some more seasonings if you want. That's how you make it.
Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I'm disgusting. I was like, it's almost like you host a cooking show. you really got into it. Like,
Larry, it's the only thing I know how to make. One New Year's Eve, I said, I'm making the finger foods, and I made mac and cheese and lasagna. And when my guests arrived, they were like, whose fingers are the food for? It's not finger food.
Just dig your fucking paw into the casserole dish. Two starch-heavy casseroles, essentially, being passed off as finger foods. I'm obsessed.
Uh-huh. Listen, if you're going to do it, you better fucking do it. Larry, I have a question. So, you use the CoStar app, yes?
Yes.
So, okay.
How do you know?
Because my incredible assistant, Lindsay, does intense research on people. Okay. So, the CoStar app once told you that you would never find love. Do you still believe that horoscope? I know even more. You were with Sydney Washington when you downloaded the CoStar app, and it told you would never find love. Sydney pointed out that some people aren't meant to find people, like Oprah. Wait, Oprah has a person.
Yeah.
Oprah has Stedman and Gail.
And Gail. Yes. The CoStar app was basically like, you blaze so bright. Like, it was like, it was like a nag. They were trying to be nice to me about saying the meanest thing ever. They're like, your capacity for idealism and blah, 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 blah. But it, like, basically the thesis was, there's no one to handle you. And in that moment, it gave me, as opposed to a lot of like the societal norms of like, Oprah is not married, which you would expect for someone. So that's like not the same thing as like the expectations, whatever the expectation structure is. It basically, the co-star released me from the expectation structure, which Oprah also was released from, I guess. But it was a really... And here is Sydney texting me right now.
Wait, really?
Yeah, Sydney. Oh my gosh, I know the synchronicity. Larry Owen.
Ooh, that's a good word. Oh.
She said, oh yeah, because I've been really busy. She said, hiding from me. And then eyes, and then she screenshotted me looking at her story earlier today. So now...
I love Sydney. That is so funny.
I'm going to take this photo of you on the Zoom, and I'm going to send it to her, and it's going to... I think it's going to give all of the context. I have been using all of my energy to waiting to honestly have audience with one of my favorite comics, one of the most inspirational people, one of the people who, like... Since I was a teenager, I've been watching on television and like truly
that makes me feel so old.
No, stop it. No,
but I like since you were a teen.
No, this is my neck. This is my co-star neck. But it was literally like I was like sitting at home, like wanting to do what I'm doing now and like be a part of like this and like truly like one of the only images of the complexity of myself that I could see on television was you. And so it's been so inspiring. And then like growing up a little bit and like realizing what the New York scene was and how like you were doing improv and with, oh my gosh, with Shashir and just like that and coming up through the comedy ranks. And I don't know, all of it. You're just such an inspiration to me. And so I have been ignoring my friends because I have wanted to hold space for honestly this milestone. Like I never thought I would get the Why Won't You Date Me mic. I hoped to. I was like, ugh, one day I will clear the bar.
You were in a Pulitzer winning musical, a polarizing musical that has been talked about nonstop, a strange loop, and you're like, I can't wait to be on Why Won't You Date Me with this lady.
No, but honestly, no, I mean, it is like sort of like the blissful, again, here's this word, complexity of my life. It's like, while I was developing A Strange Loop, I got involved in this cadre of Brooklyn comics. And like, so people had sort of like divested from the UCB system as like queers and blacks and women. And through like social media, you now could promote your own shows. And so I was like invited like just to this amazing scene. And without like seeing how you held space in the arena and the development of your career, like it really like gave me, you know, if you can't see it, you can't be it. But I was like, doesn't matter what blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah is doing over here and over there. It's like, Nicole made it. Nicole is everywhere. Nicole is Emmy nominated. She's centered. She's centered in the campaign. She's the host. She's everything and she's everywhere. And so she's everything. She's everywhere all at once. And so it's been so inspiring and I'm so happy to be here.
She's the moment. Larry, thank you. That's really, really sweet. I don't know how to take a compliment, but I will take that. It is very kind.
You work so hard.
I do. I'm exhausted. Actually, I'm not exhausted. I like what I do. I always joke around that I'm like, I'm so tired. And sometimes I am. But for the most part, like, I love what I do. I get to live my fucking dream. I get to, like, drive onto Universal. I have a trailer. And then I get to act on 3 different soundstages. Like, it's really incredible.
I know. It's so fun. People are the same thing with me and my hyphens. They're like, how do you do it? And I'm like, it's actually, like, fun.
It's great.
Like, once you get through the subterfuge of, like, developing, you know, your career and sensibility, like, then you kind of get to do the
you
stuff.
You keep using big fucking words that I don't know. Subtlety? What did you say?
Did I say subterfuge?
What is that word?
Underbelly, undertow.
How funny.
The, like, bad stuff beneath.
My God, I love this vocabulary.
I know, I'm so insufferable. There's another one. That means annoying.
Larry, I know what insufferable means. I am insufferable. Larry, let me ask you a question. Okay, so like, do you have a perfect partner in mind? Like, when you think of romance and who you, because you're single, yes? Yes, the co-star app said you are single. So like,
the detective.
When you're thinking of a partner, like, what are you thinking about?
Oh my gosh. I mean, honestly, I just shifted my idea. I just shifted my idea of the person.
Okay. Well, tell me what the shift was from and what it went to.
Okay, so I used to have this like holistic, open-hearted, really like trying to check off all the boxes of intersectionality. I was like, okay, it is about who is inside. It is about who they are and what they represent. I don't care what they look like. And just like, you know, just having this like, I don't have a type thing, like, which,
okay,
like, which, like, wasn't true. I think it was an absolute...
Okay, that's the fault in Love is Blind. Because they gathered a bunch of very good-looking people to blindly date each other and then thought that they wouldn't have any biases when they met each other. And I was like, have we never met pretty people before? Pretty people are not the people who are like, I don't care what they look like. No, never said a pretty person ever.
No, some of our most shallow are some of our prettiest. Actually, how that works.
I interrupted. Tell me who you were into. So it was nobody. You had no no type. And then what did it shift to?
And now I just really think that I should be with like the hottest, richest, like smartest, most cultured person ever.
Yes, what a dream.
Like I think that this person exists fully formed, hot.
Yes.
In a patriarchal, classic 90s movie way of any race, But guess what? They can be white, and I have not allowed that. Like, I haven't verbalized that, and I've been trying to be like, for the people. Like, I want my man to represent my hair type. But now I'm like, actually, I've been drinking the cup of, like, tall, dark and handsome romantic lead. And those people show up in relationships differently than like not those people. So I've been like fucking around with these humble pies.
Yes.
And it just doesn't work because I'm like, now it's like, because even though I can comport in that and like that's definitely, I'm double cancer. So I'm Sag, double cancer. So like I absolutely can turn down, go inside, be so low key. But then there is that moment where we go outside and we like face the big world.
Yes.
And that spine needs to be straight. That chest needs to be broad.
Okay.
You need to be looking motherfuckers in the eye and being like, this is my man. Because the thing is, you know what I mean? Like, I need that. I need that power. I need that conviction.
Mm-hmm.
I need that fully formed. I can't grow a man at 28. Although I had my first instance of being like, oh, is this how this works?
Uh-huh.
Does this man being a fixer-upper put me in the power position? Toxic to be thinking about love
sure
in terms of...
Sure doesn't. No. I'll tell you something. A fixer-upper puts you in the least powerful position because the fixer-upper will have all the power. Because the fixer-upper, you give them a bunch of stuff and then they leave you all fixed up, beautiful, shining, the most expensive man on the block. And then someone else moves in and they enjoy your refurbished kitchens and bathrooms that you put so much tile and effort into.
I removed that grout.
I did it myself. You don't deserve that grout. It's my grout.
I relayed that tile. I guess I did learn this. I guess I can tell the story. I like hate sharing anything personal, but I guess it'll be all vague. But it's a very small community of people who look like me and gayness. So that was kind of what I'm dealing with. Okay, anyway, so it was September. I was preparing to do a show at the Bell House and I was completely revamping my hour.
Paint the scene, honey. September, a light breeze, very crisp. Leaves were falling one by one. Walking to to the Bell House. Nuzzling in for a show. Okay, so you're going to the Bell House.
I was preparing for a show there, but I was in Manhattan rehearsing because, you know, I'm a musical comic.
Yes.
So I have a band. I have backup singers, and we were dancing. So we had just had this dance rehearsal, and my heart was so open from, like, choreographing for my girls, like, mm-hmm. in a way that, like, normally I do very cerebral, like, music, and it's just, like, my body isn't in it. Anyway, after rehearsal, I left, and I was like, I'm not ready to go home. And okay. I got pinged by a dating app, and it was, like, Bear Festival at blah, blah, blah. And I said to myself at Big 30, I said, if I can stand on Fire Island mm-hmm. around those people for weeks of a quarter share, I can certainly spend one afternoon at the Bear Festival.
Okay.
And so I went to the Bear Festival, and I mean, there was just an absolute wealth of, like, things that happened that, like, made me realize, like, babes, an entire community based on people who look the same is everything that I've avoided for my entire uh-huh. life. I was like, wait, oh, I was like, I get it. But also, like, the whole point of this is that we look the same. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, a community of, like, muscle version who uh-huh. like literally are elitists. Like, there's, like, a muscle, like, they're invited still. There were the people that I knew at the Bear Festival were all skinny comics who oh. were still showing no romantic or sexual interest in me in this environment as well. So I was like, oh, so you like this. So we're on Fire Island and you would never think that you like this. Then we go to the Bear Festival, it's like, oh, you like this, but still not my version.
But
got
still
it.
Not me.
Then I met a bear, and he was so sweet. He was like my tour guide. He was like, oh my gosh, hi, blah, 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 blah.
He's like, you know, the left are the cubs, to the right are the full-grown bears. We've got the hairies, the smooths, the long hairs, the short hairs. We've got the red bears over there, the bunch of gingers. I love the idea of a bear tour guide.
The bear tour guide. So he's like, why are you wearing so much clothes? He's like, take off your shirt. I'm like,
take them off, put on some suspenders, put on a little hat.
The crux was that I guess he was sensing in me some insecurity that wasn't there. I was mm-hmm. I was an outsider. It was my first time in Oz. I was like, okay. But he goes, you know, I had the gastric sleeve and I feel so much better about myself. Unsolicited. And I said, is this an advertisement? I didn't say it out loud, but, like, I clocked. I was like,
the Bear Festival brought to you by bariatric surgery. Ooh, that's a con if I ever heard one. Gather all the fatties together and be like, you know what I did? I went and lost weight and I feel really good about myself. Don't you want to feel better in your leather? That's honestly diabolical.
But it was like, it honestly was like sweet. It was like I could sense, you know, the projection.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I was like, actually, like, I'm like truly having just this experience of, like, of a festival. There's food trucks, there's performances, there was people walking on stilts. I loved it. But at the end of the day, I did meet someone who I started dating, and I did what I never do. After the first night of, like, a really, really nice chemistry and, like, everything, I have stopped doing this, but I did it that night. And mm-hmm. it honestly is kind of the crux. So I built the file.
Okay.
Where after the first meeting or, like, yes. the first contact, you go online and you build the file.
Yes.
And I went to go build the file, like, literally piece off of pieces of information. It was the first night. I was like, I literally have, like, a part of a profession. I mm-hmm. have... And I have an accent. I'm like, mm-hmm. And I went in and I found out that the person who was completely handsome, completely charming, who I totally liked, did not used to be a bear.
Oh.
In the very recent past.
Oh, so they quickly became a bear.
Yeah. And not only that, their pre was my toxic patriarchal ideal.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem with gathering the information and building the file. You find out things that you don't want to know. I will date somebody for half a second, find out who their exes were, and then stack myself up against the exes and be like, well, this is a real turn from the type.
I can't win because why would you want this when you wanted that?
You had this
sense.
Already. This is, yeah. What is this, like an exploration into fat black? What's going on?
I love it. In the equation, we can never be worthy. I love it. No matter how it sifts out, we're always exhausting. Like coming up short. We're always looking for a dime or a quarter.
Uh-huh.
But I... honestly, so like the person I was with, let's call it like Seth Rogen without a stylist.
Okay.
But the pre.
Cutie.
But the pre.
Okay.
The pre was Adam Driver.
Oh. Honestly, I think those are both delightful options.
I know, but
two cuties.
But unfortunately, we just didn't have. I see someone who's been to therapy, I guess.
That is a thing. A lot of gentlemen leaning people just don't want, like, they don't like to ask for directions to go to a place. And they don't want to ask directions how to heal their heart. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, why not just ask for help?
Why not just ask for help?
I love help. I love my therapist. She's truly, like, yesterday I was like, I told her a bunch of stuff and she's like, let's just hold space for these feelings. And I'm like, yes, queen. Yes.
We're just going to say we're in a whole space.
I love it.
My thing is that I just like, it just, like, therapy has just, like, helped me to communicate even better. Like, as, like, an actor, I, like, did not come out without words. Like, I have always loved language, as you can tell. But then, like, therapy just allowed me to be like, okay, you can feel that, express it, and, like, if it's a healthy relationship, the person should not, like, run away or, like, be angry at you for expressing. Like, that's part of it is, like, how you're heard and responded to. And so there were just moments where I would just like, I was like looking, I was so excited. This would have been my first boyfriend. We ended up seeing each other for like almost like 6 to 8 weeks. Huge in my life.
Uh-huh.
We were seeing each other multiple times a week in a way that like I love. Like in New York, it's very hard to like not have like a week, dates a week apart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like we were just like casually like, you're getting off of work, come over. Like, just like that really, I know there was so much about it that was good. But like, there's nothing that could be worse than just being like, hey, let me in. And the person having no tools. Basically, is this toxic of me? You can help me because I was just like waiting. I was waiting for this person to reveal about the dramatic change.
Wait, waiting for them to reveal what?
The dramatic change in body.
Okay, that is toxic because it's not your business.
Ugh, I know. It was hard because I built the file.
Yes.
That was the moment I went wrong.
Yes, and it's like when, that's what I mean. Like we should truly wait for people to tell us things from their past as opposed to searching it out and then when it's mentioned going, oh my God, I had no idea.
I was definitely like, going to play that. I was definitely going to play, what?
Mm-hmm. You spend time like rehearsing being like, I never knew. Wow, that must be so wild for you. And it's like, well, just let people reveal themselves.
I
have a problem with that. I love to find out as much as I can about somebody, but also I have ADHD, so like a lot of times I forget about the good stuff I've learned and then will only remember the toxic stuff that doesn't fucking matter. Like whoever you dated before me doesn't matter. You've dated someone before me, you'll date someone after me. How you looked like before I met you, you'll look like something else after we've been together. So like what matters is like the meat between the bread. Or the jelly and the peanut butter if you're a vegetarian.
For me, this like whole experience, and I knew that like I ruined it by I like the moment that I
you
found
didn't
that I was
ruin it. That's
I
the
knew
thing.
It was over once I found I was like, oh my gosh, because I in this way the conversation of being like it alerted me to being like, you have been trying to like exclude a certain thing to fall politically like better on the, like to like be like romantic politically like more clear. And I was like, no, I want a tall brawny man like who like can just be like who can just like talk easily.
I think what we all of us single gals need to learn is to honestly just be a little chill. And I cannot take my own advice.
Wait, who are you? Be chill?
Just be a little chill.
Who? Me?
I know.
No!
Bro, I'm truly, what? I'm the least chill person in America.
This isn't the chill. We're both wearing stripes. We're both wearing purple stripes.
We are wearing purple stripes. Mine's from Target. Where's yours from?
I think it's a scotch and soda.
Oh, never heard of it. Scotch and soda sounds very good. But yeah, like, I just need to chill a little bit. And like, the last person I dated, I was like, oh boy, I'm very argumentative. They say one thing and I'm like, no. And it's like, do you really have to be like that? Do you really have to argue every little? You could just say okay and it's not going to kill you. So then I practice saying okay in the mirror, or like, you're right. Yes. Okay. To try to like really make it more normal, because I don't want to just say okay. I want to be like, no, here's my opinion. Don't you want to know it? I'll talk forever. Nag, 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 nag. And it's like, oh, friends don't even want that, let alone like a romantic partner. Oh my God. Dating is truly awful. Real quick, Larry, we got to take a break. Larry, we're back. Okay. Do you think, okay, so I don't know how you identify. Do you identify as plus size, large, bare, fat, flabby, rotund?
Yeah, I was like, you know I have a few here, but there are going to be 12 more letters. Rubenesque. Falstaffian.
Falstaffian is good. Wait.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Larry, so we're going around the corner to say it.
How did you get all these words in your brain?
I don't know. I just like theater. So, like,
you remind me of my mother.
Oh my God.
She knew so many words. And to the point where I'd be like, bitch, I don't know what you're saying to me. You just said eight fucking things in a row that don't fucking make sense.
It's so fun. I'm leaning into language. I it's probably because I truly just wrote my first play. I had a reading of it on Friday. It's called Congrats. Five Sisters. I have five sisters in real life, and so it's like Bridgerton aesthetic, but we say nigga a lot. And mm-hmm. So it's like the perfect encapsulation of like ideal and expectation. And yeah, I just used a bunch of words in it. Like, I was like writing it after Shakespeare and Chekhov. So I was just like,
oh.
It was like an arena where I could just go off, you know, as opposed to writing television where they're like,
where it's like,
get to the commercial sooner.
Yeah, dumber the better. And make sure you put in our branding deal with the fucking Teletubbies.
Make sure to bring Tinky Winky in by page 8. So, and yeah, I went to boarding school and acting school. You know, I'm just giving very much that aesthetic. Pulitzer Prize winning play. Yeah, you know, I get my hands dirty.
Yes. Okay, so I know how, like, you know, you get a show made. How does a Broadway show get made?
A Broadway show, I mean, there's tons and tons of ways, but usually it starts with like a really, really smart writer.
Yeah.
Usually like a music, like the composer and for a musical, like, you got to have like a really great score or story that's grandfathered in. So imagine it's an original show. Then you like you get like a reading going, which takes a ton of time and a ton of money, but no one sees it.
Yes.
And then everyone judges it. And then you get maybe like one or two people who are like, okay, we see what it could be. And they help you just like do that same process over and over again.
Yeah.
Where like, and then there could be like 6 months, it could be 8 months, it could be a year of just like blissful silence, or unblissful rather, like, you know, I learned how to live with it for development, but like you could like not hear anything for a while and then suddenly you're in the play again, and then there becomes this great moment where you find the people who will put it up. And so for A Strange Loop in particular, that process, I just, from the moment I got the script and saw a fat, black, queer, intelligent protagonist like on the musical theater stage, I truly like wrote Michael and was like, please may I play this. And it was like one of those moments where I was like, if I don't do this, then I have to get a new profession, because this is the most perfect thing in the entire world. And so yeah, just from that moment, believing in it, and I never would like say it out loud, but showing up to that process, I would go like, this is a Pulitzer Prize winning piece of work. Like, I was like, this isn't niche. Just because it's confrontational and complex, my favorite word, complex. Mm-hmm. And just because it's all of these things does not make it niche. It's as wide as like any other thing. Like, I go and watch the White Play and it's like three times as crude, half as coherent. Like, but like, and we'll just go and watch it tomorrow. So it was like, how could I, with my presence and my body and my skill, aggrandize the true lived lives of people who don't get to be at the center of media and shows, and a beautiful, beautiful like musical like this. And it being a musical made it so much harder because like a complex black play, they'll do it. They'll be like, ah, we love it. But like a musical is really like uncharted territory for black people outside of like Jukebox, hey, you know what I mean?
Or Caroline or Change, or the stove in the oven, be singing to her.
I randomly like Caroline, but the original production, I really love the original production. The original production of Caroline or Change, it was like Tanya Pinkins was like defying. She was like defying that, like the image of it. And it was in this revival that I was like, oh my God. I let a white man write this. I've been loving the show for 20 years. I said, Tony Kushner is writing this black speak.
I think I saw the one with Tanya. Wait, when did it? Was 2004 when it?
Yes.
Yeah, so I did see it. I did see the original.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yes, because you're a secret little Broadway fan. Come and take the train over from Jersey.
I will.
You're in the Broadway documentary.
I will confirm it. People have asked me, I don't know if I've confirmed it or not, but people have asked me so many times, is that you? And I'm like, it's my face. I literally have a necklace on that says Nicole. And I'm crying about Boy George's musical, which is maybe the gayest thing you could cry about.
Taboo.
I loved Taboo. I saw it like six times. But, like, a lot of those times were half times where we'd sneak in after intermission.
Oh, my gosh, second acting.
Yes. It was one of the first things I got to see that was, like, so queer and gay and colorful. And musical theater is inherently gay and colorful. But, like, this was, like, men kissing and loving. And I was like, oh, my word. And I was in high school and I was like, this is for me.
Aww.
I would kill to be able to sing, because all I want to do is be on Broadway.
I can get you there.
No, I truly can.
Babe, I know all your work. I know all your podcasts. I hear you do the same thing, but I listen to your vocal quality so much, and I hear you fake sing. You have the bones of it. You have the bones of it.
I was told by a singing teacher that there was a voice deep inside me.
All I'm saying is if that role comes across your desk where they're like, Nicole, we would love for you to be in this Broadway musical, and you're scared, call me. I'll fly in immediately. And then we'll do a making the band type rehearsal structure ready. I want what that for you. What musical would you love to be in besides Taboo? Boy George's Taboo.
I mean, to fulfill childhood fantasies, Rent.
Oh,
I love Rent. And I saw one of the final performances of the touring company of Rent in, I think it was New Brunswick, New Jersey.
It has to be.
It was truly like thrilling. Was it good? Who's to say? But I absolutely loved it. Hold on. What musical would I want to be in? I feel like Dreamgirls is so obvious. I'd have to really think about it.
Yeah. I want you in Chicago. I want you as Roxy in Chicago.
Chicago's fun. Ooh. Yeah. I truly would have thought you would have said Mama Morton, because that's like the where it's the range doesn't have to be there all the time.
I feel like Roxy is an easier sing than Mama Morton. Mama Morton has to like,
oh, like, you are right. Well, that's what I mean.
She has to take it home.
She does. But also, I've seen some of the casting. She doesn't.
Yes, yes, yes. When Wendy Williams did it.
I love Wendy Williams.
Talk about it.
Have you watched her on The Masked Singer as a pair of lips where she's like, it's iconic. It is beautiful. Wait, I asked you minutes ago about being Rubenesque.
Oh, yeah. And I said, I'm going around the corner from this question. I don't identify. I'm thin. I'm thin as a rail. I identify as Gigi Hadid. Yeah.
I'm very thin, and I hope you're worried about me.
Okay.
I identify as fat. I think I use the word fat, and I'm honestly, it's the only thing that's getting me angry right now is that I, like, can't get dressed by, like, fashion people, like that there's like, I'm like, you know, I'm around a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like
Christian, like, Siriano is truly the most high-end I've gotten to wear. And I was like, do I have to get to like Lizzo status to wear like Gucci? To wear like Valentino? Yeah. I would love it. What do I do?
What do we do? And it's like not even for like a big event, not for a red carpet. I'm talking about just like clothes. Like,
oh yeah, just, that too. It's I like so just I clothes. Can't find specific articles of clothing that I want because they consistently make the same shit every fucking season. And I hate to tell you, the peplum is back.
The trapezoid clothes. Yes. Clothes shaped like a trapezoid.
Yes. Like, it's giving rhombus. It's
like, they're like, every fat person has parts of the body that they love and parts of the body that they hate.
Absolutely hate. Let's drape something over it.
And it's up to us to decide.
Yes. But yeah, I want a pair of purple pleather pants. Oh. And I cannot find them anywhere. Oh. I also want a pair of jeans with smiley faces embroidered on them. Oh. I cannot find any embroidered jeans in my size. Oh. Not even like old ones, like old 80s ones. Like I just can't find what I'm looking for ever.
And that sounds so cute. Both of those, like, those outfit ideas that would be inspired by that. Like, so I want embroidered smiley pants. And I also want the purple pleather pants.
Thank you. This is what I want. Please give it to me.
And it's like, and it's like, can we get the big person clothing, like, fun like this? Like, fun and cheeky and, like,
yes,
you know what I mean? And, like, personality driven, as if we have personalities.
So like Reformation, love, very cute dresses, but they don't make everything in fat. I'm like, why do we only get a couple of dresses and exercise shit? Like, I get it. Okay, bitch, you can wear a dress, but you also have to exercise. Reformation, how rude. They have these smiley face jeans that I fucking want, and they don't go up into fat. It's rude. Wait, Larry, I asked if you were Rubenesque because... Do you think you would date more if you were thinner?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? It is like, it is just the most, like, I go to Fire Island every, like, this past few summers because, like, my community is there of, like, comics and, like, actors and, like, you know, journalists. Like, it's just, like, truly where my friends are. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's a gorgeous beach, like, near New York. You know what I mean? You can't get to Positano. Like, all right, we go there to the Pines. Mm-hmm. But just, like, it being, like, a destination of sex. Like, it just it being, like... And it just being so dry there for me, like just the mm-hmm. numbers, the odds are like literally like if it was baseball, you put me right on the bench.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, like everyone wants a conversation, like everyone yes. wants to come over. Everyone's talking to the little love. They love the work. They love the blah blah blah. Like there's no like lack of visibility, mm-hmm. and I'm just right. I'm right there sitting next to the other girls as like oh, there's like no like. Like, I used to take on a lot of it inside of me being like, you're not open enough. You're, like, not la 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 la. Mm-hmm. You're not enough, basically. And I'm yes. like, but this curmudgeonly ass, shrink face ass, shrew face, ugly ass bitch next to me is fucking pulling. And they look like a shoe.
Yes. That is devastating when I, like, go on Instagram, whatever, and I'm like, this raggedy-ass, snaggle-toothed, little rat-looking motherfucker has a really cute man? What?
Oh, my
I'm
gosh.
Adorable.
Oh, my gosh. Skinny whiteness will literally get any doornail-looking, chewing gum under the table, head-ass, dumpster, back, recycling, bin-ass motherfucker has a man!
It is truly, truly wild. Like... I think about it a lot, like, in acting and in relationships, because ooh. I feel like it's one and the same. It's like, dates are just auditions and just a different, we're just headed to a different outcome. One is a job, a relationship. And I'm like, I think I would book more stuff. I mean, not to say that I don't work a lot. I do work a lot.
We work plenty, Annie, but we're talking about slayage.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I would be in a ton of different stuff if I wasn't fat, because I'm sure 100 things I've auditioned for, there was one producer who was like, that character can't be fat. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you go on 100 dates and a lot of those people are like, oh man, great. But like, I can't date a fat.
It's insane. I literally have like, and like, no joke, like from like the UCB up until now, like I've like tracked every single person of notes, like success and like the different ways that they like plug into the industry to get that thing that we all want.
Mm-hmm.
And like watching like you defy what could be the trajectory and still get to such a place of prominence, despite the things that are freely given to other people mm-hmm. based on their size and other identity factors. Like, it's actually insane. And it's like more than being like angering, it's just like, it's just your money. Like, why are we being funny with my money now? It's like, why can I walk into a room and have every person there want to be an audience with me? And then when I go through the gatekeeping sources, you want to pretend as if no one will want to be around.
Yes.
When it's actually not true, honey. It's not true.
Yeah, it is such a strange thing to be like, well, I walked into that room. There was 5 people in it. Everyone was laughing uproariously from the minute I arrived to the minute I left. There were no adjustments. Just do it again. And like, if you want to like go even more off script, go. Like,
yeah,
really,
if you
want to
write more for us, yes. Yeah.
And then you do it and they're like, you get like a clap at the end where they're like, that you were, you, my God, we loved you, Nicole. My God, ugh. And then you hear nothing. And then you see who was cast and you're like, oh, that woman's the size of my thigh. And ugh. I now understand why. And then you're like, and she wasn't funny. And you were like, ugh. So you didn't even want anybody funny. You brought me in for what? It used to be soul crushing, but now it's just like, hey, that's what you want. That's what you get.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's literally so hard because it's just, when I think about it from a dating perspective, I'm like, oh, the only barrier here is honestly just some weird prejudice.
Yes.
Like there's like nothing, like no one would not be friends with me because I'm fat.
Uh-huh.
But I know even if they could never verbalize it, there are hundreds and hundreds of guys who like can never even conceive of me romantically or sexually because I'm fat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this like bastion of like prejudice that it's honestly mostly annoying. Like, I'm fine. Yeah. I go to sleep at night. I wake up. Uh-huh. I have a smile on my face. I thank God. I sing a high A. I, you know, get an iced coffee. So, like, I'm not like, you know.
I get iced coffee. I go to Dunkin' Donuts. She runs on Dunkin'.
Yeah, you're running on Dunkin', honey. So, it's like, my life isn't stopped because of this. But it is just, like, so patently annoying.
Mm-hmm. It is annoying. And I think a lot of it stems from, like, being fat or becoming fat is some people's worst nightmare.
It's their worst nightmare.
So they're like, how could I look at my worst nightmare every day? How can I kiss my worst nightmare every day? How can I like rub my hands on the rolls of my worst fucking nightmare every day? And I'm like, stick a hand in it, honey. You might like it.
It's so hard that it really is like the worst nightmare.
Yeah. And there's like such like more terrible things that could happen than like getting fat.
There truly is. And then the worst part for me is that like I've had zero desire outside of like moments of pangs of pain and like feeling not enough because of the prejudice of the systems that I've been grandfathered in. Like outside of those, like that combined maybe like 4 hours of my life where I'm really low. Mm-hmm. I never wake up and I'm like, I want to be skinny. Like,
no.
I don't aspire to it. I have this body. People in my family structure like have this body. Like, mm-hmm. It's not bizarre in my family structure to have this body. And the women, because they're black women in a certain zip code, like they like have no problem mm-hmm. with, you know, that like sort of romantic attention.
Yes.
which is annoying because I'm like, where do I have to go? Where do I have to move?
And that's the thing about it is when you see
when I see a bitch who looks just like me with like a big fucking chested dude with like dreads and like beautiful skin, I'm like, where do I have to go? Where do I have to move? Where do I have to move? Or they fucking want my fat ass.
We gotta go to the hood,
honey. I have such a
beautiful
butt. Like, where do I have to fucking go?
We gotta go to the hood, honey.
I guess so. Well, I'll be in Chicago for Thanksgiving. Okay. Well, I don't know. When does this come out, Mars?
This comes out Friday.
Okay. Well, I was in Chicago for Thanksgiving. So, I mean,
get around the hood, hey.
Southside, do or die.
Yeah, Chicago, they think it's the hood. It's not. I'm from Baltimore. That's the hood. Chicago is the Midwest, honey. Y'all are out there being like, yeah, you're being like, don't you know? Yeah, y'all don't got crime like we got crime.
Nobody
I'm gatekeeping.
Like, nobody sounds like that in Chicago.
Yeah, but that's the vibe.
No, so the white people, they spread their vowels. No, black people sound like they're from Mississippi because they all came from Mississippi.
They ain't gangbanging around Chicago like we gangbang around Baltimore. And that's on guard.
I've been to Baltimore once and I liked it. It was fun.
Why? You're
I
so
don't
seedy.
Remember.
You're
I can't.
So John Waters perverse.
Thank you. I watched one John Waters movie and it changed my life in college. I like, it's so wild the shit that you don't get to see growing up, but then like your mind and brain get opened up in school and people are like, watch this weird thing. And you're like, oh my God. Like I'd only seen Hairspray. Fuck. Oh, I think it was called Desperate Living, and there was a fat black woman in it. And at one point, she was like, I'ma sit on your face. And I was like, I love her. I love that threat. I love it so much. I just love John Waters. Just like finding like the most interesting people to put in movies that you
Absolutely.
Normally wouldn't see in movies.
Absolutely. And it was this like weird, like my like super religious mother, like so sweet. But like her, by being from Baltimore, we just have to revere John Waters. Mm-hmm. So like, it's this weird thing of being like, oh, that's John Waters. And like having to know about him my whole life. But then his catalog being what it is. It's there's a little.
But that's what I love the most.
Cognitive diss.
You know, it's like, well, this is someone we need to study. And it's like, what are we studying? Oh, yes, a drag queen ate shit in one of his movies.
I still haven't seen it. I'm like so like I'm like haunted by like what I'm dreaming of being in these movies.
Sure.
Like versus like what's actually there. Like I know so much about Divine mm-hmm. eating the dog shit that like do I need to watch it at this point?
I guess not, but honestly watch the Divine documentary. That's great. Okay, here's a question. Do you find, people ask me this a lot, so I'm going to ask you. Do you find that your success intimidates suitors?
I mean, right now, I feel like I'm getting a lot of, like, honestly, like, fans.
Like, ooh, has that, like, you're getting, like, in the DMs and whatnot?
Not in the DMs, but just, like, in the places that I'm going, like, either IRL mm-hmm. to the Bear Bar or to the online apps type situation. Mm-hmm. And, like, they don't always let on that they know the work. Usually I can tell by, like, you know, someone's, you know, what they're wearing. If they
Okay. What do you mean? Let's dig into, what do you, yeah, tell me about that.
No, I mean, it's just, like, New York. Like, I would definitely, like, not go anywhere else in the country and be like, oh, my gosh, like, let me make sure to act right in case anyone knows me. But in New York, it's, like, in between, like, Brooklyn Comedy, the musical theater mm-hmm. play, and then, like, yeah, being on national television. Like, there's, like, you know, pockets of people. There's different pockets.
Sure.
So there's, like, a you were on Search Party outfit.
Okay.
And location. So, like, they're like, I love Search Party. And you're like, okay, great. And mm-hmm. they're like, there is also, like, the Life and Beth, Amy Schumer, like, mm-hmm. woman. Like, there's, like, that, like, you know, that's, like, that person as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, I get a lot of love from the black community, from Abbott now, which I love. And then the theater people love A Strange Loop. So it's like, oh, it's like figuring out like which one, not all of these things, but which one of these things
what you could be clocking. What category they fit in.
They're clocking me for. And because it's like, the Abbott conversation is very different than like A Strange Loop. They're like, I saw you off Broadway, like it was 200 mm-hmm. seats. And they're like yesterday, like the woman was crying. And I was like, I didn't even realize it till this morning. I was like, she was crying at me based off of this performance.
Yeah.
And then there's also just like, I saw you on this thing.
Art is such a wild thing where it touches people in a way where you're like, yeah, I know I did it, but I didn't know you're gonna fucking cry about it.
And the next week I'll be like, oh my gosh, do you remember when she cried? Like, I'll need that. but yeah, no, they don't let on. They don't let on always. And then you find out later and you're just like,
ugh. Has anyone hit on you by being like, how strange is your loop? And I'll fucking plug it up with my strange.
I haven't gotten that one, no.
Okay, fair. Well, when the people slide into your DMs, if you use it, please quote me.
No one's as creative as you are. So, like, I don't know how they would ever. These scrubs that I've had the displeasure of entertaining for the past few months. I, like, really tried. I have moments where I, like, get hopeless, and there are moments where I'm like absolutely like I'm the most optimistic. I'm like here, I'm open-hearted, I'm therapized, I have nice clothes for the first time ever in my life. I'm like, I can take us to dinner, like for the first time
I can pay
ever.
For dinner, and it can be at a restaurant, not at McDonald's.
So I'm like, let's go and do this. And then every time. Is it New York or is it just like everything?
I honestly, it's New York, it's LA. I feel like there, it's the most, okay, I'm not saying we're ugly people. I'm not saying we're not beautiful, because I think we are two stunning individuals.
I'm giving stunning. We're giving stunning. I'm looking at you. It's giving stunning.
A little stun for your money. I will say that traditionally, we're not considered beautiful. By European Eurocentric standards, we're not considered the creme de la creme. And I think both cities are run by Eurocentric standards. So we're easily like passed over in a way that's like so depressing. I too sometimes will sob in the shower and be like, why not me? But then I'll remember something funny and be like, don't fall down in the shower. And then like go about my day and be fine. But like, it is like one of those things where I'm like, yeah, if I moved to Ohio, I would clean up with this pussy. Do you know what I mean? Yes. I went to like anywhere else, I would like be thriving. I'd have 8 children and a husband who's like, give me more, baby, or like whatever. But it's like, I don't want to be in those places. And then also it's like, maybe I don't want I don't know, Larry.
I know. And that's sort of like where I've like resigned myself to just be like, there's so much that is happening that is like good, like mm-hmm. every day. And it's like, it honestly is enough. And I think in this like last experience of almost having this boyfriend, of like so much of it being right, of being like, oh my gosh, like he holds me through the night. Like he like spontaneous enough to like have dinner just like on a Wednesday. Like we would go to the theater a lot. He mm-hmm. liked the theater. So like that was a plus. But then it was also a negative because, you know, the opinions, a gay person with an opinion on theater, honey.
Sorry about
oh
it.
Oh my gosh, razor blades. I was like, babe, we don't have to fight over dramaturgy right now. I don't care. I was like, I have a voice that makes it sound like I care even when I don't.
That's very funny. Real quick, we have to take another break. Larry, we're back. That is funny to think about. Just, I have a voice that makes it sound like I care. I think I have a voice that makes it sound like I do not care.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm getting a phone call from the China mainland.
Oh, oh my God. From the actual China mainland. That's TikTok calling.
Do you think that's TikTok calling me?
Yeah. They're gonna put your shit in a cardboard box.
I couldn't answer that.
Changing my number and I'm changing the locks. Answer, please, please, please.
Well,
please.
It stopped ringing, but like,
dang.
Who? Who could that have been? What a dream. Oh my God. Maybe that was like my boyfriend.
Your man.
Maybe that's my new partner.
That's your partner.
I should have answered. I am devastated that I didn't.
That was the moment. Honestly, I'm glad you chose me over them.
Thank you. I didn't want to interrupt. I would never. Okay. What is your dream musical to be in?
My dream musical to be in? I don't know. Probably one that I wrote.
Okay. I think I thought about it. I want to be Sally Bowles in Cabaret or a gender-bending MC in Cabaret.
Okay. I could definitely see it as both.
I think that would be very, very fun. And as for a play, give me some August Wilson. I really like... or George C. Wolfe's The Colored Museum. I don't know how they did that. I don't know if it was like four people who played all the parts or everyone. I don't know. But I love The Colored Museum. It is such a fun play.
You've been thinking about this. That is really highbrow. Both of these are really highbrow.
Thank you.
Including August Wilson. Okay, great. So we'll have you replacing Danielle Brooks in The Piano Lesson.
Oh, boy.
On Broadway.
Okay. All right. I'll do it. I'll step right in.
I cannot wait to hear your Wilsonian dialect. Come on. Give me 1920 sharecropper.
Hey, listen, everybody. Get in the field.
No. Not on the MGM lot, honey. Actually, I love it. That's the experiment that we need right now. Oh my gosh, your Sally Bowles would be so devastating because
thank you.
I was like, yeah, she's just so, she can get messy. And I think that you have the capacity as an actress.
Thank you.
To get messy.
Life is a cabaret, old chum. Listen, I can't
see,
do it.
See, that's tone pitch. That was all in one key. There was some vibrato.
Oh, there was vibrato.
There was. It was uneven, but it was there.
Thank you. She's always uneven, but always here for a nice time.
Come to the cabaret. Oh, chum.
God, you have such a nice voice, which is really annoying for me. I just wish.
I'm throwing it in there. I'm trying to build a story here for the people.
I wish I could, you know, just like rip one. Just be like, la, 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 la.
What do you sing at karaoke?
Share, believe. That was the last time I sang karaoke, and it wasn't good. It's a harder song than you think.
Did it turn them up, though?
No.
It didn't turn the people
off?
No,
the people were pretty upset. It was not a gay bar. It was a straight bar. So they were like, yikes. Do you believe in life after love?
Who were you with?
I was with my friend Evan. And I think it was just the two of us. And it was at the old cabin in New York before it became... Do you know Cabin? Cabin used to be like a stand-up spot for like a lot of alt comics. It was a tiny rickety stage. And then they did They did karaoke some nights. I don't know what it is now. New York is very different than it was when I lived there.
I know. That was a while ago.
Yes. New York's changed.
How long have you been in LA?
I've been here.
You've been in LA eight years?
I think almost 10. I moved here in 2012.
I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it.
It feels
but
insane.
I knew.
I'm like getting old.
I knew.
But she's got nary a wrinkle.
just, you truly look gorgeous. Honestly, your skin, you're so pretty. Oh my
gosh.
Thank
you. If only you saw me without makeup.
There's like not a ton of beat on.
You're right.
Do you think you're beat? You think you're beat down right now?
No, I'm not wearing any eye stuff, but I have concealer and then a little concealer on the cheeks and on the chin.
I think that your eyes are shining. There's an absolute glow about them. You have the world's brightest smile. Oh my gosh. Cheekbones. They're so, so high.
Larry.
They're like beautiful apples. Yes. You're so gorgeous.
Larry, I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, but I have to go to the dentist. I really hate the dentist. Last time I was there, they gave me laughing gas, and I don't remember much. I do remember being in the lobby and the lady being like, here are the magazines you wanted. And they were just a bunch of dentist magazines. I didn't want that. But Larry, I asked most of my guests this, usually all, but then I forget. Would you date me?
Yes, I just spent the past 5 minutes describing you like an absolute cherubim. That's my final word, cherubim. There we go.
Cherubim?
Yeah, that means angel.
That I knew.
Yeah, I would date you. Yeah, absolutely. You're so funny. I've been stalking your professional career.
Thank you.
I hosted a podcast where I literally was almost impersonating you as a podcast host.
Wait, like, really?
Yeah, it was called What Makes You Sing. It's still available online for people listening.
Oh.
Yeah, I would have comics coming to the studio, and we had a live accompanist, and whatever popped up in our interview, we could just sing. So we would have done Sister Act together. We would have done Cabaret, Sally Bowles.
Okay.
I mean, if you were my guest, we would have done Carolina Change. Like, we would have just sang those things together.
Do you
with
still
the
have this podcast?
No. It stopped during Pando because we literally couldn't.
Oh, because you couldn't be in person.
Online.
I see.
But it was so fun. And literally, I would be like, hey, like, I was literally like, well, what makes you say I'm like, I was doing, I was doing Nicole Byer podcast hosting.
I love it. She's unhinged, and why not have a fun time?
You're the template. You're the mold, is what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Larry, you must. Stop.
They broke the mold when they made you.
They God really
must
did.
Have spent
a little more time on you.
On
so, okay.
You.
Larry, going forward, what advice can you give us to find people?
You should be as white and thin as possible. If you can't be white, you should choose a race that is close enough to whiteness that gets you the... Yeah, the residual runoff of that. And yeah, you really should be focusing on thinness.
Okay.
That's the foolproof way. And if that doesn't work, just continue to be like this dazzling person you are with your beautiful insides.
I love that. I'm going to go with option A, and I'm going to become Jennifer Lopez. Thank you so much. Good day and good night. No, I'm kidding. Okay, Larry, is there anything you want to promote?
Yeah, absolutely. I will be bringing my Stephen Sondheim Hour to California. It'll be February at the Pasadena Playhouse. It's on Larry Owen Sondheimia. And you can watch Abbott Elementary and Z-Way, and you'll see me.
I love it. And if you like this... Wait, how do I do my outro? Fuck. Okay. If you like this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And if you write me something dirty at Why Won't You Date Me podcast@gmail.com, do not send dick pics. Mars looks at it. I never see until she like gives me the little messages. So don't send dick pics. Don't send pussy pics. Don't send asshole pics. Okay. So this says, hi, Nicole. I'm a longtime fan of the pod. I wanted to write you a silly poem that was easy to cold read. Wow. I guess you're talking about the last time I read a poem and really struggled. There once was a last name, Nicole, who announced she was on Dick Patrol. Synthetic or bio, won't matter. See, still fucked it up. Won't matter to buyer. To blow out my back is the goal. That was nice. Thank you so much. Okay, bye. Bye.
Woo!
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.